This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Welcome, folks. This is, unfortunately for you, not Tony Perkins, my very dear friend, but this is a lowly local legislator from Tyler, Texas, Louis Gohmert, and I am thrilled to be talking to you again on behalf of my friend Tony Perkins. And what an amazing man. What a great friend of America. What a great friend of mine. Tony Perkins is just superb. I am in Congress. I hope you won't hold that against me, but it's where the fight is. And so some of us run to the guns when we hear them. And we're going to have a great show today. We've got some guests that'll be calling in, and we'll get to visit with them. And if you would like to ask questions or participate with one of our guests or in the last third of the segment, then when we're going to get to calls, and that'll be exclusively the third segment, we get to hear from you. If you'd like to participate, the number to call is 866. Now, be sure that's not 666. That's 866-372-7234. So that's easy to remember those last four, 7234. But 866-372-7234. Well, I am thrilled. We have a friend on with us, our first guest, named J. Christian Adams. Christian is a friend. I first met him while he was with the Voting Rights Section at the U.S. Department of Justice. That was about the time it started becoming not the Department of Justice, but just the Department of Just Us. And injustice began to spread. I thought when we had elected President Obama, and I mentioned this in an interview sometime back, that even though I didn't vote for him, that one thing, he would be as good for America on issues of race as my favorite high school coach was, who just happened to be a black coach. And that's what I said in the interview. You know, I was hoping he'd be good, bringing us all together, where, as Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream was, people be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. And in fact, that's what Coach Williams did for us in Mount Pleasant, where I grew up. And I love the guy. I played quarterback, and he was just a wonderful coach. He brought us together. There was absolutely – he didn't care what your skin color was. He just wanted you to give everything you had. And amazingly, the left normally says, gee, we're the ones that are free of any bias. And immediately a story goes up saying Louis Gohmert talked about his favorite – basketball coach. I never mentioned he was basketball coach. He wasn't. He was a football coach. But apparently the bias of the left said, oh, well, if he's black, he must have been a basketball coach. I don't see it that way, but the left did. Anyway, Christian Adams had an action taken up against the Black Panthers, the new Black Panthers, as they were intimidating people that were trying to go in and vote. He was kept from doing his job by the attorney general and their lackeys. And I am thrilled that he went around. He ultimately left the Just Us Department and had a best-selling book entitled Injustice, Exposing the Racial Agenda of the Obama Justice Department, published by Regnery. And that is a great book. He's a great American. Christian, are you on with us?
Yeah, and it's always great to talk to you, Congressman.
Well, I always love talking to you, Christian. I love talking to folks that are smart, that know their subject, that know what's going on. And by the way, I know you're going to be impressed after you hear Christian talk, just as I was the very first time I met him. You can go to his website at www.electionlawcenter.com. electionlawcenter.com. There's no break in there, no periods in between Election Law Center. And you can follow Christian there. But Christian, I had understood that you did what I hadn't heard anybody else doing, certainly not in the mainstream media, but looking into the financial actions within the Trump businesses. Tell us what you've been looking into.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, part of the reason that so many people are attracted to Mr. Trump is they think he can really do a good job. You know, he apparently purportedly knows how to run a business, and they think that he can come in and run a government like a successful business. But what I found was, is there some really strange things I had forgotten about, some of them, and some I didn't know about. Things like Trump vodka, Trump steaks, Air Trump. And don't forget, remember the USFL. I think they had some teams down in Texas, maybe in San Antonio. And, you know, he had a team in New Jersey, and he made the great business decision to try to take on the NFL and move the schedule from the spring to the fall. So what I do in the article is I talk about the reality of the business acumen, the business decisions, and it's not exactly a rosy picture. It's not exactly a story of success. It's a lot of failures and a lot of unfortunate victims who paid a lot of money and didn't get much.
Well, that is interesting, and I didn't know about the Trump vodka. That's interesting. But and I'd forgotten all about him having a USFL team. That didn't go over as well as some had hoped it would. But if our listeners wanted to read the complete article that you've just written about that, where's the best place to go, Christian?
It's at PJ Media on the front page right now. It's called Donald Trump's Record of Business Failures and Bluster.
So they don't get any idea of what the article might say from the title, it sounds like.
Well, I
heard one of the candidates said during the last debate something about the bankruptcies that Trump had filed, and he was, as I recall, he said that just wasn't true. I'd understood there were like four bankruptcies, something like that. Educate us on where the bankruptcies were and how Mr. Trump could say there were no bankruptcies.
Well, there were four bankruptcies of the Atlantic City casinos for sure, but there were other collapses, like something called Trump University. It was actually a sort of a college, and I use that term very loosely, in about 10 years ago where...
Well, sort of a college is pretty loose, Christian. what does that mean?
What Trump University was is Trump promised to make people into Donald Trump in real estate, and he would take sometimes $25,000, $30,000 from people, middle-class folks who saved their money, and they were promised personal access, personal lessons, world-class success. And unfortunately, there's a lot of real American victims from Trump University, folks who didn't get the access, didn't get the training, and the Trump University eventually just vanished. The New York Attorney General sued Trump University for defrauding students. This was just 3 years ago. This isn't something from the 80s. And it's really a story of hardworking Americans pouring their dreams into Donald Trump's name and coming up short. And it's not a happy story.
Wow. I guess I wasn't at all familiar with Trump University. Well, I mean, we hear ads certainly in East Texas where people say, come to this seminar and I'll teach you how to make millions, or I'll teach you how to make more money than you've ever dreamed of off what you're investing in the stock market, this kind of thing. But I don't remember seeing any ads for Trump University. I guess maybe after I gave up making good money to go into being a public servant, I wasn't a target for those things anymore. But so what came of the New York investigation of Trump University?
Well, that's a very good question, and you can't get a lot of straight answers from the Trump campaign, the Trump website. It's sort of been scrubbed. It looks like that there was some kind of resolution between the parties. Whether or not that included restitution of the victims isn't clear.
Well, interesting. Well, what about the four bankruptcies? You said those were the casinos, correct?
That's right,
so,
in Atlantic City.
So I guess that's how Mr. Trump is taking the position. That's a lie. I never filed bankruptcy. It was his businesses, the casinos, that actually filed bankruptcy. Is that the distinction he's trying to make?
Exactly, and that's one that a lot of listeners who are blessed not to have gone to law school might not quite get. And it's the difference between personal bankruptcy and business right. bankruptcy. The businesses that he was involved in and got the government to do a lot for in Atlantic City, those are the ones that went bankrupt. It wasn't his personal estate that went bankrupt.
I see. Well, it is interesting, and I know I've talked with my friend Tony Perkins about, I was thrilled when Trump got involved because so many more people started paying attention to the Republican primary. More people were watching the debates than ever before. He was bringing important attention to our porous border and our this administration's unwillingness to enforce the law. And, of course, enforcing the law is something that you spent your time at the Department of Justice trying to do. So I was thrilled about all of that. But then as things have come more to the surface, Christian, I know you're a man familiar with the Bible, but it begins to feel a little bit like so many Christians are so frustrated. They've seen our country taken away from our moral beliefs, and for the first time in my lifetime, and I think in the whole time of the country, we're seeing Christians persecuted for their religious convictions. I mean, how else do you explain the Department of Justice being in litigations with Little Sisters of the Poor? These poor Catholic nuns, vow of poverty, basically, and all they care about is helping the poor, and yet the federal government wants to litigate, drag them into court because of their religious beliefs about abortion, so and about birth control. So I don't know. I've got it. It feels a bit like Christians are saying, you know, I'm so tired of seeing a guy that acts as a totalitarian leader. I want King Saul to come into our kingdom and to fix everything. Bring us King Saul. We want a king. Do you see any parallels?
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, like so much here, I agree with you completely. You know, it was just a month ago that I was cheering him on. I thought what he has done to change what we can talk about compared to when we couldn't talk about it is an invaluable service to America. His willingness to bust apart the edifice is great. But when you really start to look at it, you see problems.
Yeah, you are so right. You are so right. Well, thank you for the article. People can find J. Christian Adams' article about the Trump financial situation at PJ Media. That's like pajamas, PJ. And check out his book, Injustice, Exposing the Radical Agenda of the Obama Justice Department. And come on back. We'll be right back with more of Washington Watch. Thanks so much, Christian.
From songs like Shake It Off to Whip Nene to the lifestyles of the Kardashian family, it's hard to say what's on the minds of millennials in America. It's something that companies and researchers have been trying to figure out for years, and for good reason. The millennial generation now makes up over a quarter of America's population. More importantly, what do millennials believe? The answer to this question is a vital clue into the direction our culture will take in the years ahead. In a new publication from the Family Research Council, the beliefs of millennials are explored at length, with analysis of data from numerous surveys about their views on marriage and family, religion, and values. As the data reveals, millennials are drifting away from natural family values. As a whole, they are largely indifferent toward religion, are apathetic to the ideal of intact married families, and believe that homosexuality should be accepted by society. Even so, the strong sense of justice that most millennials possess provides a glimmer of hope. For more on how to speak truth to the millennial heart, visit frc.org/millennials.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. This is Tony Perkins' show, Washington Watch. Unfortunately, today you've got Louis Gohmert, lowly legislator Louis. I represent the 1st Congressional District of Texas, and I am thrilled to have on now my very, very dear friend. And I say that as one who, although I never was, we didn't have any combat during my 4 years in the Army. We should have in 79 when they attacked our embassy, but I haven't been in combat, but I felt like I was in combat taking on some of our Republican leaders and some of our Democrat opponents in the House. And so I think I've gotten a glimmer of what it feels like to be in the trenches and know somebody has my back, and it's a guy that I trust implicitly. It's Congressman Tim Huelskamp from Kansas. He represents the 1st District of Kansas, and he was elected in November 2010. Folks, you remember November 2010, it was months after Obamacare had passed, and the American public was angry, and they were fed up. And so they gave Republicans back the majority in the House. And Tim Huelskamp was one of those who made a bunch of promises, and he has done everything in his power to keep all those promises. I'm thrilled to serve in Congress with Tim Huelskamp, and I'm thrilled to have him on Washington Watch. Tim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Louis, thank you for having me on. It is a real pleasure and honor to join you here in Washington Watch today.
Well, Tim, you know I love talking to you. Anytime that we can talk, whether it's on the air or off the air, man, I love you because, well, not only are you a Christian brother, but you're a man whose word is his bond. You do what you say, and I hope that your constituents will recognize what a gift they were given when you were elected. You know, the old adage is democracy ensures a people are governed no better than they deserve. And ever since you've gotten elected, I've said, wow, the 1st Congressional District of Kansas is some really wonderful people. They really deserved a great congressman. So good to have you on. And are you in Kansas right now?
I sure am, Louie, and I appreciate the kind words. And I tell you, we're just trying to save this nation. It's a pretty simple concept. And I think we have some tremendous challenges over there, existential challenges to our country. Our Constitution's under attack. Our culture's under attack. Our way of life is under attack, whether it's out of this administration or almost the entire city of Washington, D.C. And, you know, it's a pretty simple concept that our founders intended, and that was self-government, but it's dependent on make sure we govern ourselves as well. So, but it's been an honor to serve with you, Louie, and hopefully we hope and pray we made a difference and moved us on the course to getting our country back on track.
Well, I have people tell me that our little group has made a profound difference. We have a different speaker now, and although I didn't vote for him, I can work with him. He's an honest guy. We just have differences of opinions, like I know you do as well. But on the national scene, I know we've talked about it. So many people have brought up over recent years 2 Chronicles 7:14. And you know how it begins. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. That's how it starts. And you've seen it. I've seen it. People have gotten so worried across America that those who hold Christian beliefs are now being persecuted for those beliefs, and people have gotten concerned and they've gotten angry that somebody has fundamentally transformed their country back into a country where there is a big racial divide that wasn't there when Obama was elected, but he has helped drive a wedge in this country. So I can understand people being angry, and they, as I was talking to our last guest, Christian Adams, it seems like people are saying, look, I'm sick of the way Christians are being treated, so I want a King Saul that's going to be a warrior and come in and kick some rear end of the people that are ruining our country, when actually they've been saying for years before that, 2 Chronicles, it's not everybody in the country, but just those who call themselves Christians, those who call themselves by the Lord's name, will need to humble themselves. And I understand that you have made an endorsement recently in the presidential campaign itself. Tell us about it.
I always think it's important to look at not just what people say, and there's a lot of people, including the gentleman in the White House, can probably spin a pretty good speech, but I'm looking for a man or a woman that wants to get this country back in our constitutional founding and the principles that built this nation, and that's principles of life and family, religious freedom, and protecting folks that are just striving to run their business. And you know, there's only one man I've seen that has partnered with you and me, Louie, and has said, you know what, we've got a problem in Washington with folks out of control that go after Christians, they go after our way of life, and they're taking our money and they're spinning us into obscurity in $19 trillion of debt. And the only one I've seen amongst the field now that's always been there, been fighting in the 4 years, 5 years I've been in Washington, and he joined me in my third year, and that's Senator Ted Cruz. And it's not just talk. Mm-hmm. And you know, far too often the American people they're tired of talk, because you and me, Louie, we've seen people, probably hundreds of our colleagues, that say they're conservatives, they're Christians, and they believe in our fundamental founding principles, and they go to Washington, D.C., and you wonder what difference that makes. And But Senator Ted Cruz, you take it to the bank. He's going to fight for those basic foundational principles that built this nation, and I think are going to bring us back from the brink of destruction.
Well, can you stay on till 39 after the hour?
I can do that.
That will be awesome, because we're going to have to take a break here. But people paint Ted as being this manipulative guy, when you and I have sat down in his office, sat down in other places, and he's done all the listening. He's been a facilitator, a moderator. And so, you know, he hears everybody's positions in the House, and then we talk about, well, what can we do, like on the Gang of Eight bill, to try to slow it, try to stop it. He's been invaluable. And Tim, there's no question you have too. This is Louie Gohmert. Come on back to Washington Watch. We'll be right back.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Some of you may have remembered or heard me talk about gold and oil and the ratios between the two. And there's some significance to the difference in oil prices and gold prices. There is a measure out there that measures how many barrels of oil will an ounce of gold buy. Now, it's interesting because this spread or these differences have been extremely accurate in predicting big financial crisis. And as we see that grow, it generally means, or at least looking backward and looking at it, we say, wow, it means that we are going to see some crisis in the markets. So ADS Securities, the chief market strategist for ADS Securities, puts together some really good charts. And basically what has happened is last Thursday, we saw gold go up to the equivalent of 37 barrels of oil, 1 ounce of gold. Now, just to put that in a little perspective, the 30-year average is 17 barrels per ounce. So what does all this mean? It may mean nothing, but it is something that we ought to consider and look at. After all, it's been a very good predictor, and it might just be a good predictor this time as well.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch, Tony Perkins' show on Washington, what's happening in Washington. This is Louie Gohmert, a member of Congress from Texas, proud to be from Texas and proud to be an American. And I know I didn't deserve to be born here. Tim Huelskamp, congressman from the 1st District of Kansas, we didn't do anything to deserve to be born here, but we have been blessed. And with that kind of blessing comes responsibility. And man, has Tim Huelskamp lived up to his responsibility in Washington. Nobody intimidates him. Nobody can back him down when he knows he's right. And, Tim, it's been amazing to me. You know, I haven't agreed with Ted Cruz on everything. And I wasn't around back when a pastor at my parents' church, before I was born, they said, used to say, if everybody agrees on everything, all but one's unnecessary. And of course, we're going to disagree on things. But if you know somebody's heart and you know that they're people of their word, then that goes a long way and you can work with them. But to hear Ted Cruz be repeatedly referred to as, and I'm not even going to say the L word, it's just so misplaced. But I've noticed over the years something that some of our Democratic opponents have done. If they're doing something wrong, then they will accuse a Republican of doing the very thing. I thought President Clinton was very good at that, at projecting, I guess psychologists call it, projecting onto their opponent the inappropriate activity that they're involved in. But Steve King, your friend and my friend, has been saying that, look, this is time for a guy that's going to stand up and keep his word. And I guess all three of us who've been fighting in the trenches together have come to the same conclusion about Ted. Let me have more of your thoughts before we were interrupted by the commercial. You were going good, Louis, and I had to cut you off, Tim.
That's okay, Louie. And for many of our listeners, they typically want to cut off politicians, but I think there's a critical point here.
I know I have people say, Louie, I love it when you're on the radio. I can finally turn you off. But go ahead. Let's talk about the presidential race.
It really is. And I come from a little town of 500 people and grew up in farm, and we're still farming with my family. And it's amazing that in America, you know, we still can elect, pick our leaders, and we get a chance to pick our president. And we have a Christian obligation and responsibility to pick them, to vote, but also to educate ourselves. And, you know, we can't just let people tickle our ears and tell us the things we want to hear. We need to look at what they've done versus what they've said. We need to look at their past history. And I will tell you, I tell people again and again, I know a number of the presidential candidates, you do as well, Louis, but what Ted Cruz says publicly is the same thing he'll say behind closed doors. He's not one man in private and one man in public. He is a man of integrity, and he is committed. And he is truthful and honest, and I have known him for 4 years, and not once has he misled me or deceived me or anybody I know. But, you know, we get in this silly season of politics where people say a lot of different things. But I've sat down with Ted, I've sat down with his wife and their children, and talked about what do we do to save this country? You know, and I think there's far too many people getting into politics that are doing it for all the wrong reasons. But real, true leaders are doing it for the right reasons, and that's reasons that they want to save this nation, want to turn it back to our founding principles and reliance on God himself. And you look at what Ted Cruz has been fighting for. Mm-hmm. It's not just talk, and it's not just recent talk. There's an adage in politics where you talk about campaign conservatives, that they campaign as conservatives, but they don't ever plan on voting that way. Yeah. You know what? If everybody voted like conservative as they campaign, we've got a lot of things done already. I agree. I am just as frustrated as American people are with Congress. I've seen it. I'm tired of it. It's time to follow through and just do what we said we'd do. Turn this country around. Mm-hmm. Let's make our government smaller and make our liberties greater. It's a pretty simple concept, doing what we promised to do. And Ted Cruz has done exactly what he promised to do. And I believe as president, he'll do exactly what he's promising today on the campaign trail.
Well, you know, you came in at the time in November 2010 with the largest conservative wave in, you know, nearly 100 years. It was a massive group. And this is my observation, Tim, but there are so many of the guys that came in with you, the men and women that were wonderful people. They're great people. And I think they ran for the right reasons. And I think they wanted to do what's right. And yet, the first thing you start hearing, even before you get elected, is now you're going to be incredible. You're going to help the country so much. And, you know, you're going to be such a great team player. And you get there and you keep hearing team player, and we got to stick together. And then when some of them would say, well, wait a minute, we're not doing what we tell people we do, they get, oh, are you not going to be a team player? We thought you were a team player. Well, yeah, I'm a team player, but we promised to cut spending, you know, to get this country back. Oh, yeah, we're going to get there, but we can only get there if you stay a team player. And there have been people in your class that 2 years later said, I was a team player for 2 years, and we hadn't done any of the things that we promised we would do. Don't you think it's not an intentional misrepresentation to their constituents? They just get misled when they get there.
If you haven't identified your principles before you go to Congress, you know, if you can look at a candidate and say, well, gosh, I'm not for sure what he or she stands for before you cast a vote, shame on us. And, we've got to have somebody's trusted. Somebody's actually fought the good fight. I mean, I will tell you, it's not a matter of speeches. It's a matter of doing. And, you know, when we all see that in our own lives, our own faith, we can say one thing and do another. But we need candidates that have actually followed through and are trusted and proven.
Well, Tim,
the battle is
our
great.
Time's up. But, man, I can tell you, Tim, you are just that kind of candidate. You are a man of your word, and I'm grateful to be your friend. Come on back, folks.
The hallowed grounds of the Arlington National Cemetery. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We will visit the Arlington National Cemetery. We'll see the burial site of John F. Kennedy, the Arlington House, which is the home of Robert E. Lee, and also the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That's just one stop on one day. So much to see in our nation's capital on our spiritual heritage tour in June, and then the other one in September. In addition, we'll be going to Mount Vernon. Also, a tour of Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. will precede our trip to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. For all the information on these tours, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com or call for a free brochure, 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Our job at American Family Radio News is really to bring attention to the issues and how they impact Christians.
14 states will have primaries or caucuses on Super Tuesday.
That's a key component in our coverage.
Join AFA News Director Fred Jackson, President Tim Wildman, and Ed Vitagliano beginning at 8 p.m. Central for results and analysis.
I think this election is yet another referendum on where the country is spiritually.
For Super Tuesday coverage, Tuesday, March 1st, tune to American Family Radio.
Our motto on Focal Point is simple. We need to pray, we need to think, and we need to act. That's why every day we open the program with prayer for spiritual renewal for ourselves and our nation. Then we talk about how we should think about what's going on around us, and then we talk about what we should do about it. This is Brian Fisher of Focal Point. Hope you will join us.
Making the issues clear and our role plain. Focal Point with Brian Fisher, weekdays from 1 till 3 Central on AFR Talk.
The book Moses Was a Basket Case, Hilarious True Stories to Encourage and Inspire by our own J.J. Jasper, was originally published in 2001 and quickly became a bestseller. Because of renewed interest, limited edition copies were printed, updated with a brand new lost chapter that was inadvertently left out of the first edition. We thought there were enough books to go around. Apparently not.
Yeah, we were shocked at Christmas time when the book sold out in only 6 days. When we said wow, supplies last, we meant it. However, we heard from lots of people upset because they didn't get their copy. So, we've printed some more copies of Moses Was a Basket Case. The stories are zany, but they really are true. And you know, through all of this, what this shows me is that even during difficult times, people love to laugh.
Moses Was a Basket Case is available while supplies last at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
This is Washington Watch. Welcome back. And the number to call, we've had fabulous guests. Christian Adams, what a great man. And Tim Huelskamp, he, when it comes to standing tall, he's a man of his word, and he is a man who some people are afraid of him in Washington. He scares them because he speaks the truth, and that's a scary thing in Washington. But I would like to hear from you guys. The number to call is 866-372-7234. We'll be able to take questions this last portion of the show. So 866-372-7234. And I also want to point out, and I was just talking to a dear friend, Reverend C.L. Bryant. He's a man of God, and we have stood together many times. He could care less what anybody's race is, the same way, feels the same way I do. But, you know, we also have talked. We understand that God can bless this country for another 250 years. He can bless us, or He could let happen to us what he allowed to happen to the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Of course, this, after Israel split into two parts, the northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah, Jerusalem was located in the southern kingdom of Judah. And I think it was around 732 B.C. when, and it's talked about in Isaiah, but God's making clear to Isaiah, I've given the northern kingdom of Israel chance after chance. And in fact, I pulled back the hand of protection. I allowed the Assyrians. And back then, the Assyrians were the terrorists of the day. If that sounds familiar, God pulled back his hand and the Assyrians did a funny, a strange thing. They went into the northern kingdom of Israel. They attacked places. They knocked down walls, buildings. They cut down trees, they pillaged the place. And then instead of taking over it, like people often do when they attack, they just went back to Assyria. So you had this, what God tells Isaiah was a warning shot. He allowed this warning, this attack, he allowed it to take place. And it was a warning to his people in the northern kingdom of Israel. And he hoped that it would turn them back to him. He's omniscient. He knew what would happen, but he had to give them a warning. And he did, because he's a just God and a merciful God. And they didn't turn back to him. And in fact, in Isaiah 9:10, God is basically quoting the leaders of Israel. Instead of saying, "Oh, merciful God, we are so sorry, we have turned away from your ways, the ways on which this nation was founded. Forgive us. You are the God in whom we trust." Instead of going back to that, their leaders said, "The bricks have fallen, but we, first person plural, we will replace them with hewn stone cut out of a quarry. It's more valuable, it's bigger, it lasts better. So forget the bricks that is what they constructed while God was blessing them. We're going to do something even better. We're not calling on God to help. We're going to rebuild on our own." And sure, the cheap sycamores fell, but we're going to replace them with even better trees, with evergreens like cedars. And that's basically at the heart of the book that Jonathan Cahn wrote, C-A-H-N, The Harbinger. It goes to that verse. And actually, I couldn't believe it, but checked on the things that Cahn referenced in his book. And sure enough, the Senate Majority Leader and also the Democratic nominee for Vice President, both on Capitol Hill, both on the Capitol, quoted Isaiah 9:10. And that's the verse that God said, because they said, "We will rebuild," and didn't include God. He was going to allow the Assyrians to come in and take them over. And he did. And it was about 10 years from the time of that first attack until he let them go. And the Assyrians came in and they took over. So, of course, the southern kingdom, I think it was around 586 B.C. that he gave them warning. They didn't respond. And within 19, 20 years, he let the Babylonians come in, take them into captivity. So as I was talking with my friend, Brother C.L. Bryant, we need somebody not who is going to be a King Saul, who will be rough and tumble and cuss and fuss. We need somebody that's going to bring this country back. He's not going to force anybody to believe anything they don't believe. We're not going to persecute anybody for their religious beliefs. But we have got to get back to having freedom to worship God and honor our national motto, "In God We Trust." Now, I've gotten a note that we have Frank in Kentucky. Frank in Kentucky, thanks for listening to Washington Watch. Are you there?
Hi, Louie.
Hey, Frank. Welcome.
Yes, Louie.
Welcome to Washington Watch. What's on your mind, Frank?
Oh, lots of things, Louie. One thing is...
Okay, well, let's hear it.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay.
So go ahead and get to your point. We're running out of time.
Yeah, I want you to do what you can, Louie. Just keep Obama appointing the judge, some rotten judge there. You understand what I mean?
Good point. Yes, I do. I sure do, Frank, and you are exactly right. That is such a critical thing, and we've seen two judges that President Obama appointed, and they have played fast and loose with the Constitution, and we have lost a great Christian friend and a brilliant intellect in Justice Scalia. And as Justice Scalia said, I sure don't want somebody to come in when I'm gone and undo everything I've done, because he has spent his time on the bench. I guess that's since 1986, since he's been on the U.S. Supreme Court, trying to get the court back to relying on the Constitution instead of making it up as they go along. And isn't that what you mean, Frank? We need another Justice Scalia, another Clarence Thomas, another person that will stand firm on the Constitution and allow Christians to practice their beliefs.
Yes, Lloyd.
Well, we may have lost Frank, but yeah, there you are. Yeah. Well, Frank, thank you for your thoughts, and I know that your thoughts shared by a lot of listeners, and in fact, we've got Albert in Oklahoma who was wanting to make a comment or ask a question, and I'm always glad to hear from neighbors from Oklahoma. Albert, are you there?
I sure am. How are you guys doing today?
Well, as far as I know, okay.
Right.
I can hear you just fine. Now, do you agree with what Frank said, that we sure need to be careful about who ends up being the next Supreme Court justice?
Yes, I do. And that is the truth. And I want you guys to know that I'm a Black American. And one of the points that I wanted to make that I never hear anybody talk about is the distinction between all the races here in America. I tell people I'm not African American. My parents weren't born in Africa. My grandparents weren't born in Africa. My great grandparents mm-hmm. weren't born in Africa. That we help.
Well, just a second. You say that you're Black. See, old Bryant, he's in the studio. Somebody told me one time you may be Black. Is there any truth to that?
All
his life. Okay, so C.L. Bryant here, he's a reverend, he's a Christian brother, and it turns out that he says he's been Black all his life. And I've got Albert on the phone from Oklahoma, C.L., and he's a believer, and I get the impression you don't really care what people's skin color is, Albert.
No, we're all Americans. We are all afforded the same rights.
There you go.
Underneath the Constitution of the United States of America. So, and I tell people all the time, why reduce yourself to a second-class citizen by calling yourself African-Americans? Because we have nothing in common with Africa. And if you shipped us back to Africa, we wouldn't know what to do because we have nothing in common. That is the point.
I can guarantee you, Albert, I sure don't want you shipped anywhere. I would want to get a hug from you like I did from CL when he came in the studio a while ago. I don't want you shipped anywhere. You're exactly right. And you know, Albert, one of the things that really just filled my heart overflowing on 9/12 of 2001, it was a day after we got hit with the worst attack in American history. And I know in my hometown here in East Texas, we gathered around. We had hundreds and hundreds of people, and they're doing it apparently all over. We gathered around the courthouse square, and at the end, we ended up holding hands. And we sang praise and God Bless America and Amazing Grace. And when we were singing God Bless America, I looked around that circle and I thought, this is what Martin Luther King Jr. dreamed of. Nobody was a hyphenated American on that square. All the masses of people that are gathered, all the people holding hands, we were singing Amazing Grace. We were singing God Bless America. And we were Americans. Nobody cared what age, gender, race, anybody was. We were Americans. And it really filled me to overflowing. I had to quit singing for a little bit because it was just so deeply moving. We were attacked from without. people started filling up the churches across America. I know everywhere I looked, the churches were packed. But it seemed like within about 90 days, people went, oh, never mind, God, we're good. We'll go our own way. They kind of quit coming back to church. So we had nearly 90 days there, it seemed like, that we turned back to God. And as long as we look to God as, you know, Lord of all, then it puts us all brothers and sisters. Nobody's better than anybody else in God. We have different gifts, but I'm really proud to be your brother, Albert, and I'm very grateful you called in, my friend.
Can I ask you this real fast?
Well, sure.
When you reference black people, don't use that African American stuff, because we're not African American. We are American citizens. And I believe when we put that moniker behind our name, we reduce ourselves to second class citizens. And I believe that's what the federal government wants us to do. The liberals want us to do is to reduce ourselves to second class citizens and be completely dependent upon the government.
Mm. Wow. What do you do for a living, Albert? You're a very smart guy.
I'm retired. I retired from the federal government. And so I know.
Well, Albert, we need you back. Yeah. Well, I have Reverend C.L. Bryant here in the studio with me. C.L., what are your thoughts?
My thoughts, is this the one that's live? Thank you so much, Congressman, for having me on. Albert, our feelings and our views on the way our country should be is exactly the same. I believe we're the greatest nation on the face of the earth, the greatest success story the world has ever known, America. And you and I, along with everyone in this nation who call ourselves citizens, should be proud to be a part of this great American experience and the great success that America offers. But I don't think we've told our story often enough, Louis, especially I am a Republican, I'm a black Republican, a black conservative. And I think that our story has not been told in a way that has been coherent for others to embrace. But Albert, I've heard a lot of what my friend Louis Gohmert has said to you. And I've heard a little bit of what you have said, and it sounds like we're all on the same page. And God bless and God keep you in your endeavors.
Well, thank you so much, Albert. And Brother C.L. Bryant, you blessed me the first time I heard you pray in Washington, D.C., and you bless me every time I get around you. Albert, thanks for listening. I tell you what, folks, you know, when we sing God Bless America, it's a prayer. It is a prayer asking God to bless America. And I believe with all my heart that in 1986, when people were singing God Bless America and praying God Bless America, God blessed us with Antonin Scalia. He was a blessing to this country. He's been a personal blessing to me. And so let's remember the Scalia family, the loved ones. I know he was the one who had to go tell my friend Michael Luttig, that grew up in Tyler, Texas, that his father had been killed two blocks from my home. And it broke his heart because Michael Luttig had worked for him. We will miss him. We have just got to make sure his legacy endures. Folks, thanks for joining us today.
For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.